Let me meander my way up. All right, guys. So I am speaking from a stool today because I was giving the cutest grandbaby in the world a piggyback ride. Cutest grandbaby in Arizona. Because there's a house that has 15 Snoopies down. It's about a 10-minute walk from our house. And I must have misstepped, and I tweaked my knee. And so here I am, which is perfect because, you know, airports are so short, such a short little walk, too. So I did that yesterday. I'm going to do that again today. All to see you guys. I'm kind of wondering why. hey, I want to start like this. I just feel like it's like Grandpa Jack speaking to his children right now, sitting on his little stool. Do you know what Advent means? We had our, thank you, Jeff and Carol. It's, where are they? They're here, right? There they are. It's so great to have you guys here, because you guys came after I came. So we're both really new. And the way you guys have dove into Covenant Grove in such a meaningful way. And you're just likable. I mean, I can't say that for everybody else, but you guys, I can say that for, and just how great that we're on this journey together, right? Do you know what Advent means? Anybody know what Advent means? We've just lit 4 Advent candles and nobody knows what Advent means. Okay, I'm done. I'm leaving. Serena does. Of course she does. It means to come. The Latin word is Adventus. And we have a word that we use called Maranatha. And the word Maranatha means God, Jesus, come. Adventus. What other word do we get from the word Adventus? Adventure. And I wonder if that's how we want to start our day today. God, we want to adventure with you. We want 2025 to be an adventure with you. So God, will you come? Will you adventure with us and show us things that we haven't seen? I really believe if you keep your eyes up and you keep pursuing God, you will see him do the amazing in front of your very eyes. So why don't we start like that? Why don't you bow your head? Maybe if you want to pray this prayer, just say, God, we want to adventure with you this year. Lord God, thank you that you are our God. That when we come to you, your goal is not, hey, come to me all who want a to-do list, and I'll give you something to do. But you say, come, adventure with me. And I will show you things in the lives of people around you. I will show you, I will do things in your family. I will do things in your life that you never expected, probably a way you never thought. I will take the difficult that you're going through, and you all walked in with something difficult. I will take that difficult, and I will build in you. And at the end of 2025, you can have greater depth and more maturity and more peace and more joy if we adventure with you. So, God, I pray that for this place, for the Hawkins family, and for all the Covenant Grove families this year. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks for coming. Let's close in prayer. I have a present. Do I have somebody to give this present to? Where are they? Okay, come on up, girls. I have a present for you. Let me tell you something about this present. One, you're going to be disappointed, okay? I'm just telling you right now. But this is something that we actually gave our daughter, Sterling, when she was growing up for Christmas, okay? And there is actually 2 in here. So Whitney and Annabelle, who wants to open it? Okay, Annabelle, you get to open it. All right. There's 2 of them. Annabelle, you get to pick first. Okay, tell the people what you have.
Paw Patrol Band-Aid and Pokemon
Band-Aid. All right. So what do you want? You want the Paw Patrol? Okay. All right. Thank you for coming. I appreciate that. Enjoy your Band-Aids. Why would anybody be so cheap to give their child Band-Aids for Christmas of all things? Well, our youngest, Sterling, was always injured. And not like really injured. And it's too late to call Child Protective Services on us anyway. But like she'd bump into anything, she'd scrape something, she's always coming to us for a Band-Aid. And what did that mean? Did it mean she's really hurt now? She wanted a little bit of attention, she wanted a little bit of love. And we used to pick at her and go, God, stop coming to us for Band-Aids. And then we thought, why are we fighting this? Like honestly, if we go to Costco, we can buy her enough Band-Aids to last for her entire life. So for Christmas, we bought her some really cool Band-Aids. Now, there was only one downside to this. One time, I was working in the kitchen before church, and I cut my finger. And the only Band-Aid I had was like, I could choose between Barbie, and I think it was actually a Pikachu Band-Aid that I could choose. So I chose, of course, Pikachu. And I'm preaching at a Pikachu Band-Aid that day. You know how it is with kids, right? They fall down, they bump themselves, they need a Band-Aid. And you know what the most important aspect of a Band-Aid is? It hides the blood. Because you've seen it. Your kids running around, they fall down, and they're fine. They get up until they see blood. And the moment they see blood, you hear this blood-curdling, and it could just be the tiniest amount. But you got to pull out Barbie. Then you got to pull out SpongeBob Band-Aid and cover it up. With that in mind, listen to this. As Jesus went on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been bleeding for 12 years. No one could heal her. 12 years of doctors, 12 years of praying, 12 years of looking for answers, 12 years of hoping. Now just imagine how scary that was. And not only was it scary, you were considered unclean and thrown to the outside of the community. And she came up from behind him and she touched the edge of his cloak and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, she came trembling and she fell at his feet. I think she's nervous, she's worried. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him. She told her story and how she was instantly healed. Then he said to her, ready? Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Can you imagine 12 years? And all you needed was a touch of Jesus. And what he gives her is the promise he gives to all of us. Go in peace. Over and over and over, when we tell the story of Jesus being born, this comes out. This idea of peace comes out. Let me read you from Luke chapter 2, verse 8. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. Let me tell you a little bit about shepherds. They were lowlifes. No one ever chose to be a shepherd. If you were a shepherd, you couldn't be trusted to, like if you saw somebody killed on the street, you couldn't be a witness because nobody trusted shepherds. Do you know that you couldn't ever buy milk from a shepherd because they would assume that they had stolen the milk? Nobody ever chose to be a shepherd. These were the lowest of the low, all right? They were keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. This always happened every time an angel showed up. People were freaked out. These guys weren't just freaked out. They were terrified. In fact, I think I have a picture of the shepherds. Do I have a picture of the shepherds? There they are. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to the God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. They were terrified and God said, I will give you peace. There are two really important births that happened. One, of course, is Jesus. The other is John the Baptist. Go into great detail about John the Baptist. This is what it is said about the baby John. You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. So let me ask you a question. When you came in here today, did you come in peace? Or did you come in frustration and anxiety? For some people, it's just that family's showing up. And maybe you even like your family. But you got to clean for them and you got to cook for them and that stress raises. Or maybe there's a conversation that you've had with somebody or didn't have with somebody and they're coming into your house. Are you feeling that peace now? Or maybe it's with one of your children and they've just kind of wandered away from you. And there's this anxiety with them. Or maybe it's your work as you go into this next season, you're thinking, gosh, am I really doing this another year? Maybe it's money worries. As people are unwrapping their gifts, you know, like Band-Aids, you're thinking, how are we paying for all of this? Did you come in peace? What if Jesus could stop the bleeding? What if all you needed was a touch from Jesus? Jesus would like you to say the words today that he said 2,000 years ago. Actually, those words were said 700 years before he was even born in the book of Isaiah. 700 years before he was born, it was predicted that he would come. And this is what it said about it. For us, to us, a child is born. Noel. To us, the Son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. If we're all here for Jesus today, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace, then why don't we feel it? Why is it so leaky? Here's what I'm going to suggest to you today. We can't experience the fullness of Jesus' peace if we give Jesus just a peace. P-I-E-C-E. We got to give him everything. Okay, I'm going to try to communicate this in a way that you can understand. So I'm going to bring up my friend Mason. How you doing, buddy? Where are you? Come on up. Now, I don't know if you guys know Mason. He's one of ours. He's here every week. He serves. He's a good human being. It's possible he may be the best looking person at this church, quite honestly. But you are a football player, am I right?
That's right.
Okay, talk to me about it. Do we have a mic? Does he need a mic? Can you hear him? Oh, Serena, Sister Serena can give you a mic. She hates when I call her Sister Serena. She feels like she's in a convent. I don't know why I do it. Okay, talk to me about your football career. When did it start?
I started when I was in seventh grade playing tackle football for Oakdale.
Yeah, okay, right. And then you played through high school?
Yep, through high school, and then I went to college and played 2 years, MJC, and then a school in Ohio.
Okay, yeah. What position?
So I got a Swiss Army knife as a gift from my high school coach because I played like 9 positions in high school.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
All around, yeah.
What'd you like? Do you like offense, defense?
I like defense, like hitting guys.
Okay.
Yeah, linebacker.
I have a verse for you.
Please.
Acts 20:35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Right?
To deliver the blow, right?
That's right. Like you, I wonder if you can remember this picture. Look at that, right? That is the second manliest picture I'm going to show during this message. And I'll get to that in a second. Okay, so let's take you way back, all right? Let's say that you're in seventh grade, and you're playing on this football team, and you've been playing on it for 5 years. I'm making up this story, but you'll be able to follow along with me. And every year you play the same team, and they beat you every year, and you know they cheat, right? Like in fifth grade, their quarterback had a beard. So these guys are cheaters for sure, and you know what the name of the team is, right?
Sonora?
It's the Raiders, right? It's the Raiders. Of course it's the Raiders.
Right.
Did you say, what name did you say?
I said Sonora.
Sonora, you know what Sonora means? It means, it does, it's Spanish. It means shoe raiders, actually, it does. Because there was a Sonora when we, where I grew up. Shoe raiders, okay, so you're playing the Raiders, they cheat every time. And the day of the game that you're going to play them, let's say it's seventh grade, all right? You hear a voice from behind you. You're all gathered around, ready to play. And you hear a voice, you think you recognize it, and this guy says, hey, can I play for you guys? And here's the first most manly picture. There he is. Tom Brady. And your coach takes one look at Tom. You like Tom? You a Tom fan?
He's the GOAT.
Yeah, he's the GOAT. That's right. So you look, he look, takes one look at Tom and goes, well, man, the Raiders cheat every year. We might as well cheat as well. So he lines everybody up. He puts a uniform on Tom. And then he goes down the list. He says, okay, Billy, you're going to play running back. And Jimmy, you're going to play linebacker. And Tom, we got a special position for you. We're putting you in at kicker. No. Now, what are you thinking at this point?
No, coach.
No, coach. No, coach. So they put him in a kicker. And actually, so Tom shows up. The guys are going. You think the guys are freaking out. The moms on the sidelines, they're really freaking out. But he hasn't played kicker, and the worst part of it is when he's not playing, the coach hasn't put a bag over his head. So now the moms are all upset. You lose the game 49-0. Okay, so Mason, if you are in that scenario, what position does Tom Brady play?
Tom plays QB.
Okay. Who calls the plays that day?
Tom.
Tom. If Tom wants to play defense, where do you let him play?
We put Tom on defense.
We put Tom on defense. You put Tom any place Tom wants to be because he's the GOAT. He is the best of all time. And I have to, I said that, it's hard for me to say that. My favorite team, you know what my favorite team is? Whoever is playing the Patriots. All right? Favorite team. All right. Thank you, Mason. I appreciate that. That was good. Here you go. Let me tell you something. We have access to the God of the universe, the Prince of Peace. Why are you starting him at kicker? Why are you giving him just a portion? Why are you giving him just a little bit of your life? We give him all of our life. We got to put him in charge. We got to let him call the plays. You can't just give him a piece. So I was hanging out with my daughter, and she has this friend, and let's call her Katie, all right? So Katie was, I know that Katie has fallen away from this relationship she had with Jesus when she was in high school. And as she was talking, she said, well, don't get me wrong, I like Jesus. And I wanted to say, but do you? You like the forgiveness of Jesus. You like the peace of Jesus. But do you like the Jesus that says, pick up your cross and follow me? Do you like the Jesus that says, hey, I'm going to tell you how to be in relationship? Do you like the Jesus that says, you got to work it out with the people around you and you got to forgive the people that you don't like? Do you like that Jesus? See, at Christmas, we love the baby Jesus. We love the compassionate Jesus. We love the peaceful Jesus. We want the forgiveness, but do you want everything else? You will not have peace if you just give him a piece. This is what he's looking for. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. A couple things you're promised in there. Hope, joy, peace. But you got one responsibility. Do you see what it is? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope. He promises not only to give you hope and joy and peace, but so much that it overflows to the people around you and infects them. But you don't get that if you just give them a piece. You got to give them all of it. You have to trust. You put your trust in him. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. You are called to peace, but you have to do what? Let the peace of Christ, what? Rule. It's calling the shots. You let it call the shots. You let Jesus call the shots, not you. He's got to be in charge. So before we go, I'm going to give you three ways that maybe you can find that kind of peace this Christmas season. I promise I'm not going to throw over any tables today. It's much kinder and gentler Jack today. And the first is this. Make a full commitment to being close to God. It is His character quality. He is literally called the Prince of Peace. What you want is to develop a family resemblance. And the way you develop a family resemblance is that you just are with somebody. Let me tell you, if you are with my wife, she looks better than Jack, but she says so many things that I say so many things. The family resemblance just rubs out. That's what happens when you're with somebody long enough. That's what we want. Isaiah 9 tells us that peace is at Jesus' core. He will be called Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. It will continue to increase. Thessalonians 3:1, may the God of peace give you peace at all times. How does that sound? And in every way, the Lord be with all of you. And here's my favorite, Psalm 85:10, love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other. There's such an intimate relationship between righteousness, following God with your whole heart, and peace, that there's an intimate relationship. It's like a kiss. Okay, married couples, do you remember the first time you kissed your spouse? Do you remember that? Anybody remember that? If you're not married, do you remember your first kiss? Do you remember that? I remember the first time I kissed my wife. Like, I kissed her on the head once. That doesn't count. My first time, I really kissed her. We were on her parents' orange love seat in the living room. And the parents had gone to bed, and she just threw herself at me. How many people believe that? Is she here? I guess we'll have to go with my story then. I remember that moment. It was a good one. There is an intimate relationship with righteousness and peace. Will we let God call the shots with our money, with our relationships, with our sexual life, with what we drink, with what we eat? There's an intimate relationship. The closer we are to Him, the more we will have that kind of peace. Let me show you. Tell me what these are. I had to rent a car yesterday, and so it might be a little hard to tell. What are these? Keys. It's like a fob. It doesn't really work. There's got to be a key on here somewhere, right? I can't find it. Just trust me, they're keys. Okay, let me ask you another question. Let's say you've got a 16-year-old living at your house that you've taught to drive, and you're about to hand him this. Now what does this represent? Fear? That's a good one. 100%. You know what this represents? Leverage. Leverage. Yeah, sure. You want the car? Sure, you can have the car. How's your room? You want the car? You got it. Is your homework done? Right? Hey, we asked you to empty the trash. Do you empty the trash? No, you can have the car. Leverage. Peace is God's leverage. It's what keeps us running back to Him. It keeps us realizing our need for Him. Keep coming back to Him. We were talking before, and Serena was saying, yeah, man, I have peace, and that's gone, and I have to find peace again. And she's like more spiritual than anybody, certainly more spiritual than Brent. He is. Oh, shoot, I thought Brent was gone. Yeah, our peace is leaky, isn't it? So it keeps us running back to God. Okay, let me give you a second way to find peace. Don't let difficulty keep you from seeking God's peace. Sometimes things get so rough, you think God's mad at you or something's wrong or he isn't there. You go, well, I don't have peace because he's left me. Okay, I want to read you a verse. Okay, tell me if you like this verse. Job 22:21. Submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Do you like that verse? That's a pretty good verse, right? It's written by a guy named Eliphaz to Job. And Eliphaz is an idiot. Job has lost everything, and Eliphaz is giving his own wisdom. So this isn't God's wisdom. This is Eliphaz's wisdom. That if you follow God, then you will be prosperous. That's just the way it's going to work. And I'm telling you, from my vantage point, sometimes that is true. And you can certainly prosper more than other people that are spending all their money on weed and drugs and getting thrown into prison. I get that. It doesn't mean that you win the lotto, that your house goes up in value. This is a foolish statement. And I want you to know that sometimes when you're in a situation, you go, man, it is so rough, it's so difficult. When you find your daughter has cancer. And if you need to know that God can show up in that situation, talk to Kim Koski. She will tell you that he can show up. But he did not abandon Kim in that situation, and Alan. He was there in it. It wasn't his punishment on them. It was by his grace that God has raised up this beautiful woman to be healed again. So don't think because you're going through a difficult time that God has stolen peace from you. Can I give you a third? You don't get peace by making a casual commitment. You just can't give God a peace. That's what this whole message is about. Is there something you're withholding? Is there something you're keeping back? Reminds me of a story. I think it's a true story about the farmer who decided to have bacon and eggs for breakfast. Have you heard this story? The barnyard is all freaking out. They're all running around. They found bacon and eggs for breakfast. The chicken seems to be pretty calm, but the pig, man, he is freaking out, right? And the chicken finally says, hey, man, relax. I have to be part of this breakfast too. And the pig says, hey, when it comes to the farmer's breakfast, you're involved, but I'm committed. Peace takes commitment. It takes all of us. It takes every bit of us. Psalm 34:14, turn from evil, do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Romans 14:19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and a mutual edification. We need to give it our best effort, our fullest effort. So is there something you're holding back right now from God? It's interesting. I'll just give it to you from my perspective, because there are things that hold me back too. I don't want to sound like, hey, I got it all together, as I clearly don't. You've been with me long enough to know that I clearly don't have it all together. It's not just, okay, well, I have an alcohol addiction, because that can keep you from God for sure. I have a porn addiction. That can keep you, clearly those things, but everybody would kind of recognize that those are things that would keep you from this relationship with God. Sometimes it's, I have a faith problem. Like, I'm going through a situation and I don't know if I trust God completely with this. You know, I left my church and then I didn't have a church for a while, and then I came here, and throughout this whole situation, I had questions like, God, are you going to provide for the Hawkins family as we've made this big move and I'm moving to be near my kids? Are you going to provide? And I'm saying this to a God who has provided for me my every need, my entire life. And what I had to get to the point of saying is, God, I have to give this up. I have to give up my lack of faith. I have to give up my being an entitled little punk and say, God, you are trustworthy. You have earned that right. Why am I not giving you that right? So sometimes it takes some digging deep into ourselves and our souls to find out what it is, that thing that is keeping you from giving God more than just a piece. So why don't we close like this? Why don't I give you a chance to do some work with God? And for one, this is where I'd start if I'm you. God, if you're the Prince of Peace, will you give me peace this holiday season? That's going to be my prayer over you for sure. But then maybe you want to take this time and say, God, what is the peace I'm not giving you? What is the part I'm holding back that's keeping me from experiencing the fullness of who you are? So let's just pray. Why don't you just bow your head? Lord Jesus, I pray for my friends, and I pray that this season that they would have a peace that goes beyond understanding. Not a peace because everything's all worked out. Anybody can have peace then. But in the difficult, and when that relative comes over and says that awkward thing, or when they don't get what they want for Christmas, when they're wondering about their money or their job, that you would give them that peace, that they would know that you're in charge and that you got them. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give my friends peace. And God, if there is any place in us that we need to give up, that we're holding on to this hard thing, this difficult thing, we're holding on to this rock in our shoe that bothers us every step. I pray, God, that you would show us what that is so that we can give that to you as well, and that you can reign in peace in our relationships and in our forgiveness and in our wallets and all the areas that we need to give to you. Now, one more thing. I got to do this before I go. If you don't know this Jesus, and for you, peace is just, hey, every once in a while I get it, but I need it. I want it. I want to know a God that his defining characteristic is peace so I can hang out with him. If you want to know that God, it begins like this. Just pray this in the quietness of your heart. Say, dear God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of the things I wish I'd never done. I give my life to you today. I want to put you in charge. I'm giving you the keys. I'm going to let you be the play caller. I'm not going to put you at kicker. I'm going to put you at quarterback and in coach. I'm going to let you be in charge of my life. If you prayed that begins a brand new life, we'd love to hear about it. There's a little card in front of your seat that says, I made the decision to say yes. Just fill that out, and we want to help you on that journey. Lord God, you're the Prince of Peace. Help us to experience your peace this Christmas. In your name, amen.